What's going on, everybody? It's your man, Max Weezy, and this is Fireside Chats, recorded live on Spotify Green Room. Mike is, she goes by many names, as she said before we started recording, Alexandra Worst, Alex A. Dove from K97.5 in Raleigh, North Carolina, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, the Triangle. A. Dove, what's up? Welcome.
What's up? Thank you for the introduction. Thank you.
Well, let us know on that note, like, let us know how long you've been on air and what got you into radio.
Sure. So I have been in radio. It'll be 7 years coming up this May. And I've been in the Raleigh market for going on my second year. And I moved around. Like, I started radio in Charlotte at Streets 103.3. And that was like my internship. So I got started in radio by doing an internship in college. And then once I was done my internship, they gave me a job part time, went from Charlotte to South Bend, Indiana for a year, and then went to Albany, New York for a year. And then now back to Raleigh for going on the 2 years. So, yeah,
that's pretty cool. What made you start? Let me ask you this first. What made you kind of go into like the hip hop lane? I know that's kind of where you got your start. Was that something that you were kind of setting out to do, or were you just trying to sort of like find your way in?
No, I've always liked hip hop music and R&B music. Like, man, I don't know. I hate to say the cliche of like, oh, I love every type of music, I love every genre, but no, like hip hop and R&B is really like the sweet spot. And, you know, getting into the internship in college, like I was always listening to hip hop music, but it wasn't until this one guy I was dating, and he had turned on this new station in Charlotte, because I've always heard of Power 98 being the main station. And for some reason, yeah. Right. I just thought like, oh, I can't make it on that big of a station. Like Power 98 is famous, it's legendary. Like they're not gonna let little old me in there. And so then the guy I was talking to, he turned on the new station, which was 103.3. And I was like, you know what? Let me just slide in the DM of the station and just see what was going on. And apparently they had internships, and I applied and filled everything out. And that's how it started. Cause I was like, hip hop station, a new hip hop station. I love hip hop. Boom, boom, boom. It just made sense to me.
Okay. So nobody from Charlotte is going to understand this, but I'm from Charlotte. So I have to like, I got to understand kind of where you're at here. So yeah, like you said, Power 98, that's the big hip hop station. Everyone knows that. It's been around for years. I remember there was like two new hip hop stations that came on the scene around the same time. I remember one of them was like a 90 something. Like I think it was like 92.7. Mm-hmm. And I remember them because I think they like played like just Drake songs for like 2 days.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, this new station's just playing Drake. And then they just kind of like, that's how kind of how they broke out. And then the other, the one that you kind of got your start in was a different one, correct? Or was it the same one? And they just changed the numbers.
Oh, no, it was a different one. I think, the 103.3, Streets 103.3 came first. And then, because I remember us kind of being quote unquote worried that a new station was in the area and it was playing all Drake and everybody went to the Drake station because it's Drake. Yeah, yeah. Hello. I would listen to
Drake. So. Of course.
Right. So, but completely different station. We were on the other one.
Got you. Okay. Cool. I kind of remember that time. I thought that was pretty cool. Coincidentally, that was like right before I moved from Charlotte to like the Raleigh area. Spent 4 years there. And now I'm back. So it's cool. So where did you grow up? You grew up in Charlotte, or where'd you grow up?
I actually grew up in Raleigh. I was born here, and then we moved to Salisbury, North Carolina, which is about 2 hours away from Raleigh. And I guess I consider there like where I grew up, like went to high school, middle school there. And then after that, I lived in Charlotte for about 2 or 3 years. So
got mm-hmm. you. Absolutely. Well, you know, since you've sort of tell us before we kind of get into like what you've learned in the radio business, like tell us what your typical day is like.
Sure. Typical day as of lately. I wake up early, and I also do a hip hop podcast with my co-host Asia Sky, who is also part of the radio station. And we work with Hip Hop DX, and we put the DX Daily News podcast. So that's weekday mornings at 8 a.m. is a new episode drop. So lately we've been recording it in the morning. So we'll go ahead and do that. And then I'll get ready for my day. I go to the station. I prep for like the show and seeing what's going on, checking the timelines, Shade Room, Neighborhood Talk, all the blogger sites, and then see what I'm going to talk about for the day. And then in between the show, I'm editing commercials, I'm voicing stuff. I'm posting on social media, still doing research for the day, the news and stuff like that. And then as of lately, now after the show is over at 3 p.m., I've had to like learn a different software with radio called Music Master, which is basically what you use to make the songs, like make the playlist and, you know, the logs for what's going to play on the actual radio. And then after that, that's when Big Mama come home and we can just chill and eat and everything and just do whatever else we want to do. Talk to friends, catch up with family, watch TV and things like that. So it's legit. I think 24/7 I'm either talking, creating something, or then just chilling. Those are my top three things.
That sounds like a lot of what I do. Mm-hmm. So I can relate to you there. What do you have to do to prepare though? Because I mean, you know, radio, you know, is a lot. You have to talk about a lot. You have to know about a lot. It's something that you have to go and do every day. And you also have to go in and be excited and loud and get people like, you know, you do pretty much like the sort of like the midday. So you're, I mean, people, you know, are just trying to like get through their work day, you know, pretty much when you're on air. So, like how what's the preparation like?
I guess the preparation is just, you know, whatever is going on outside, you got to leave it at the door. I know a lot of places say that, like when you turn on the mic, like you're in a whole different thing because these people listening don't know what you're going through, may not even care what you're going through. They got their own issues, their own problems. So they kind of, you know, may revert to the radio or having the radio in the background as something to take their mind off something and things like that. So I could, like, I've been on air when, like, you know, people have passed away or, like, pets have passed away. Somebody is sick. Something is going on. And every time I have to cut the mic, it's, like, boom, complete, like, 180 of, like, personality change. And then right when it's back off, it's back to whatever I was dealing with. And then back and forth of turn on the mic, being this persona that you have to be entertaining, which again, it kind of helps, you know, like they say, fake a smile to feel better if you're feeling sad. And so that kind of helps give you an optimistic personality feel of your own self, but having to really be on and off and portraying this personality that you're on go all the time, or you're so happy for the sake of other people listening. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And that's definitely like an aspect of it for sure. I mean, just like you said, no one listens. People expect you to kind of like, you know, come and perform and do your job and you know, maybe help them get away from their problems, and it's not necessarily maybe always healthy for you, but I know I imagine that can be a tough job. Mm-hmm. to come and always be, you know, like I said, excited and just even enthusiastic and everything like that. But like, what is it like to, you know, do you decide everything that you talk about, or does someone like help you with that? Like how do you find topics to fill that time slot every?
It's just me. Like I said, I have it planned out with the 5 hours that each hour is something. So like the first hour is kind of like breaking news or like what's trending on the timeline. And then during the 11 o'clock hour, that's where it's more of like a segment. So I have like you know, Aired Out Thursday, where people can call and get whatever off their chest. So we do that. Or then we have Textual Satisfaction on Tuesdays, which is where people on Craigslist in the 919 area, they go on there to find them a boostank. And so I read some of their posts, you know, in case that person is listening, yeah, make a love connection, because it can be kind of be entertaining. And then, you know, different segments throughout the week. And then 12 o'clock is a DJ mix, so that's taken care of. And then 1 o'clock is the group chat, where you've probably seen on my Instagram is like a relationship topic type of question, or like a what would you do situation. And then we get callers for that. And then at 2 o'clock hour is either more news that happened in the afternoon. So it's kind of like I know the theme I'm going to talk about, but then it's just me trying to fill in the spaces of what's relevant at that time.
Yeah, no, that's a lot. So, mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it's helpful when you have kind of things planned. I know that is kind of help us. I do, you know, just a little bit of a background nobody cares about, but I do.
What? They care about it.
I do, like, okay, so I do, well, you know, this is one of the, obviously you're on the show that I do with Spotify, Fireside mm-hmm. Chats, but every morning I do a morning show. It's just something sort of as like a hobby and, like, you know, a thing that, you know, I don't, Spotify doesn't pay me to do it, but I just do it just because I like talking. So mm-hmm. I get up in the morning, I do Max Weezy in the morning, and I have, like, sometimes I'm like, dang, what am I going to talk about today? Like, you know, people have, is it been something that where people have come to, like, you know, expect and they show up? So it's like, you kind of have to for the pressure of finding something to talk about. And like you said, it's like, it's you know, pretty much on me, but I've kind of I've started organizing the week to where every day I talk about a certain league or a certain sport or a certain, you know, thing. So that way for me, it's easier to, like, to kind of know, like, prepare and come into the day with, like, what I'm going to say, as opposed to what I used to do, just, you know, wake up in the morning and decide, mm-hmm. like, this is what I want to talk about, or hope, like, you know, Antonio Brown or, you know, somebody does something crazy and I can talk about it. So, you know, that's, it's a lot easier when you have, like, planned segments, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
And what sure. It sounds like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what, like, in terms of, like, this, you know, deciding music, I guess, I don't know if that's a question you often get, like, what's the process on deciding, like, what songs actually get played? Do you have to come up with that on your own, or is that something the station gives you, or, like, how does that happen?
Now, with that part, that's kind of more of, like, the higher ups above me, so, like, the program directors or the actual, like, president, vice president that kind of, like, approve which songs, because those people, because if I'm just music director, I'm like, I'm basically the one who, like, will fill in if they're busy and they can't create it. So basically the program director will talk to record labels about, like, new songs. They have, like, their own meetings where, you know, record labels jump on this Zoom call and play the songs that they want to push for their artists. So there's, like, a lot that goes into that of, like, what actual music gets played. But then, of course, you know, your big hits that come out from Drake or Nicki or Beyonce, those are just going to come be on the radio immediately because of who they are. But other records where it's, like, maybe, like, an LMA or someone who's not, she's not saying she's not a superstar, but, you know, not a big, big superstar where, like, yeah, everybody knows them. But those type of artists, that tier is more of, like, you know, record labels being like, oh, so-and-so has this single, Summer Walker has the single, like, will y'all play it? Do you think about playing it? And that part is like, the program director can be like, that's not a hit, I don't want to play it, or they do play it because of a relationship with the record label and things like that. So that's all them. At that point, once the music is solidified on what's in the system, then you can come down to the actually, like, setting the playlist. So during my show, it's more slower, more R&B, more throwbacks, because I'm dealing with that people who are working or going to school type thing. So it's more so kind of quote unquote safe during my show. Like, everybody's going to know the music. It's not going to be super hype. Like, you won't hear Kodak Black during my show. You won't hear ESTG during my show because it's too rough for the morning, right? So then you keep that in mind. And then when you go into, like, later on in the day or nighttime, that's when you can play, like, you know, more hard hitting songs and, you know, the things like NBA YoungBoy and maybe more The Baby and things like that for later on at night. So you kind of, like, set the vibe with your radio station during time, mood. Summertime has more, like, you know, summertime hits. Winter, you may get a little bit more love songs and R&B. So it's kind of like this fitting with the temperature of wherever you are, your city, your community, your listeners. So all that goes into play of, like, when trying to program a radio station with the music.
Do you ever get, like, a SoundCloud rapper, and no shade to SoundCloud rappers, but, like, do you ever get a SoundCloud rapper that's like, yo, like, how come you can't play my song on the radio? Like, it's doing numbers on SoundCloud. Like, do you ever get people like that that want you to play their stuff?
Like, all the time. And now I love SoundCloud. Like, I pay SoundCloud monthly. Like, I just love SoundCloud. But the epitome of a SoundCloud rapper, when they do come at me, like, you know, I got the city buzzing, my song hot, I got a million views on YouTube. It's like, yeah, okay. But then it's just like, you know what a radio song sounds like. Like, it's catchy. It's, you know, the beat is good, the lyrics are good, or it's just like catchy. And I think the best example of that is like Moray's Quicksand. I think that had like a million views on YouTube, like kind of instantly. And then we kind of played it for him being a new artist. Like, it was picking up so much momentum, but the song's good, the beat is good. Of course, people are asking about it. People are Shazamming it, want to know what it is. So that's when it works. But you know, when you hear a song and it's like, now you better take this on somewhere because this is not the time and place.
Yeah, that's funny. I guess that's like, I mean, some stuff, there's some stuff that like I have saved and like there are artists that are up and coming, but it's like, sometimes it's like, you're like, oh man, this is like super good. And sometimes you do think it's, you know, worthy of being on the radio. Sometimes, like, you know, to be quite honest, like radio is can sometimes be a little bit behind, like, you know, what a song that becomes popular, you know, through social media. But I think it all depends. But I've always kind of been curious to know, like, you know, again, like from a radio host, like, what do you say to some, like, you know, SoundCloud rapper or whatever that's like, oh yeah, like, you know, play my stuff. So that's interesting. So what, Alex, what have you learned since you've been on a radio? I know it's you know, only been a few years, but like, what have you learned?
As you mean, as far as like for me, or like how like radio really is, or like what you mean,
yeah, like, what do you like just like for you personally, like in terms of like being in the business, like what if like I guess I want to know mostly like what are some things just about like working in radio, especially being like an on-air host, that most people wouldn't necessarily think about, or, you know, like really think is even a thing in radio. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what are some things that people don't really understand?
I guess the main thing about like radio that maybe, I don't know, because I don't want to know if I want to spill the tea. But I will say, a lot of the time in radio, it's a theater of the mind. So, and they use that term a lot, where, you know, you hear something and a lot of the time it could have been used a different day, like it was pre-recorded, or, you know, I'm trying to think, like a lot of these segments, like with radio, you may hear of like War of the Roses or Second Date Update and things like that on other radio shows. And a lot of people will think that all of them are real. And a lot of times I found out what shocked me was like, there's actors that use these type of things to, you know, update their show. And like, even with me, like sometimes I call people about a subject so I could have those callers ready to ignite other people to actually call. But like, so I'm planning and planting stuff to start the show up before that gets people to call. And like, for instance, like with my mama, she loves Second Date Update. And she's like, she'll tell me the story and I'm like, Mom, I'm telling you, those are fake. And she's like, no, they're not. I'm like, girl, I'm in the business. How you gonna tell me? And she's like, I know, because that story is just too unbelievable. Like, it has to happen. I'm like, I let her have it eventually. I'm like, Mama, yeah, it's real. It's real. So that's the biggest thing in radio, is I thought a lot of stuff was just real. But a lot of time, it's somebody's friend calling in, acting like somebody, or something like that, or it's a fake scenario situation, which again is good. You know, it makes for good radio. It makes for people to talk about it. But for the ones who think that everything is so true, it's cute to see. I'm like, I'm gonna let you think that this caller husband really slept with 5 women and 2 kids on the way back to back. If you think that story is believable, go ahead, girl. I'm not gonna stop your dreams. But a lot of time radio is just a facade.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's just, I guess people just don't think about that, because like you said, if it's good radio, if it's funny, you know what I'm saying, it's you know, you wouldn't really, I mean, and by the way, the world is so crazy, like who knows, you know, who knows, like, you know, how you decide what to believe or not. But that's interesting. I never even considered that that some of that stuff would be made up. Well, let me, was you kind of we kind of, I guess, on a personal note, like, what have you learned about yourself since you've been in the business?
A couple things I learned about myself is, I guess, just along the lines of that if you have an idea, if you want to create something or do something, that radio and like media will let you be able to do that. Like, I never thought I would be in radio. I never thought I'd be able to be so creative or create different things and content. But with radio, kind of, they push that for you to be like, ooh, create a segment, create a contest, create a promotion, an idea. And like, it kind of tested me to be like, wow, radio can be so flooded. Media can be so flooded. Everybody's kind of doing the same thing. How can I make this different? So radio and media has kind of tested my creative ability to be like, yo, this break was fire. This promotion idea, that was clever. Like, things like that. So that's one thing I kind of give credit to radio and media, and like, for teaching me that you really could do this. Like, if you want to have a coat drive at so-and-so place, they teach you how to reach out to these businesses and, you know, get it together and promote and have the flyer and get social media involved and things like that. That's probably one of the biggest things. Another thing is, like, networking has come big from being in radio. Radio seems so big, but it's a small community. Everybody knows everybody. It's all about what you know and who you know. And I've gotten so many opportunities and jobs from keeping my name clean and working with, like, good people. Because, you know, I think when I came down to Raleigh, I got the job because of what happened at Streets 103.3. Like, those people knew the people in Raleigh. So when that position opened up, people referred me. And so they're asking about me, like, you know, how's A-Dub? Like, how's she on the radio? How is she in the business? And everybody was like, she's good. She's dope. Like, there was nothing really negative to say, because you keep that brand clean and you make good connections. Because people will tell you who's not good, and people will tell you who is good or like working with you and things like that. So that's another thing, like, always trying to keep your name good. Like, I may want to cuss out everybody in the building, but I keep it to myself because I'll know one connection I may need. I don't want to mess it up because I may need it in the future. So that's another thing that's taught me in radio is, like, maybe bite your tongue sometimes, because you never know who you're going to need in the future.
What, this was something that was tough, and that's great advice, by the way. I don't want to brush over that is really important in no matter like what business you're in. But, you know, mm-hmm. A lot of people that I know that follow me and listen to this, I like to talk to, you know, like athletes and music people and actors and all that stuff, but I also like to do stuff like this once in a while, because it's important to talk to folks that are sort of like in media, and that's kind of the common thing, is like, no matter what type of business you want to do, but especially if you want to do anything in media, like, you know, that's the advice that I've always gotten, is that connections are very, very important. Mm-hmm. And you want to keep those as much as possible. One thing I am interested in, like, you mentioned you grew up around Charlotte and in Raleigh, and those are obviously big areas. Was it tough for you to sort of go and work in some of those like smaller markets? Like, I know you mentioned Albany, and I forgot the other one, but I think that was for me, like, when I was in school there, where I was like, yeah, like, if you want to do TV, radio, you're going to have to start out and, you know, in a smaller market and work your way up. And that, like, not gonna lie, like, low key, that kind of scared me. But mm-hmm. Like, how did you feel about it? How was your experiences in starting in some of those smaller markets?
Yeah, I mean, I felt that tremendously, because, you know, starting in Charlotte, I think that's in radio market 30 something. Like, it's pretty low up. It's a low number. And so, but I knew with that just being my one station, I didn't have the really experience for real. So at that time, I was applying to everything. Like, every station that was hiring, I was just like, I just need a full-time job, because I was doing Lyft, I was doing Uber, I was doing some raggedy social media job. And I was just like, this is not what I want to do. And so,
you was promoting parties and stuff. You
Yeah, I was like, I'm joking. Come on. So then the station in South Bend, Indiana was my first full-time. And then, like, if you look up South Bend, that's where Notre Dame University is. It's a small town, college town. And I think if we want to talk about markets, it's like market 160. So I'm like, man, I'm top 50 going to damn 170. Like, I thought it was, you know, me backpedaling, but starting at South Bend, that let me create a bunch of videos, create a bunch of content, get me used to being on air 5 days a week. So I was able to, and the benefit of being a small station or small market is like, that's really where you can get all your mess ups out. Like, you're just starting out, you're new. It's not like the whole city of Chicago is listening. It's just like maybe, I don't know, 500 people tune into your mistake compared to like 30,000 at one time. So I did like South Bend for just getting my practice in, and I love the people there, and I was able to really shine as a radio personality. And then that was able to get me my job in Albany, New York. So kind of think that was market 60. So then they saw everything I did on in South Bend and really loved it. So then I go to Albany, boom, boom, boom. It's still a small market, but we're getting, you know, we're used to everything. We're used to being on the radio. We're used to creating content. And then from there, I was night show and got promoted to a solo morning show. And then the station in Raleigh, they see me being promoted in 5 months to a morning show. That was like, that's heavy talking, that's heavy content creating, that's heavy social media. So then it got me back to, I think Raleigh's market 20, 25 now. So, I mean, I love my small markets because it gives you opportunity, like I said, to mess up and get better. So, but it does kind of suck where you're like, man, I just want to go to New York. Boom, take over. Charlamagne, what's good? Envy, what's up? But you sometimes you just got to start small. But that's not the route for everybody, because some people do just make it and go to like Chicago, LA easily. But sometimes if you have to start small, you just start small, but you'll get to the top eventually.
Do you have plans? I mean, do you want to continue to? Do you see yourself kind of continuing to grow and possibly move to some bigger markets than even like Raleigh, or do you like kind of being in?
I go back and forth with that because I love being back in NC. Like, I've basically been gone for about 2 years, like leaving NC completely. And I told myself, I was like, I'm never coming back to Charlotte. I'm never coming back to Raleigh. Like, I was so big-headed and just like, I thought Albany to New York City was going to be the next step. And then the Raleigh job came about and the opportunity sounded so good. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I need to take a little pit stop. So being back in Raleigh, I loved it, being close again to family and things like that. But everybody has talked about in, you know, Urban One and Radio One, the company now I'm with, is like, you know, when someone sees that you're good, they want to take you to a different market. They want to take you to another station. So it's good to know that like the bosses I'm with here know that they let their talent grow. I see that a lot in Urban One, which is really good. Like, they're not going to keep you in, you know, middle of nowhere when you have the talent to be in a top 10 or top 5, and they'll let you grow. So I give that credit to Urban One of giving their talent opportunity to grow, and they don't hold you because they want you to yourselves to their station, and they want to bring in new talent and things like that. It's an ever revolving door in radio. You go to different stations, you go up, you start over and things like that. So me, I would love to hit that top 10 market to kind of get it off my bucket list. But sometimes I'm just like, you know, I'm happy in Raleigh. I like it. So I go back and forth with it of being like, do I want to move again? Do I want to pack up this apartment for the 18th time and do it all over again? But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, I mean that'll be interesting for sure. Obviously, we'll be following you wherever you go. I was just, you know, curious about that. Well, let me ask you this: this is sort of like my last like radio business question. Do you think people will still be listening to the radio in 10 years?
As long as people drive these cars that have the radio in it, radio could all be a thing. Because I thought about it like one time, like I was still working in radio and I had to get a part-time job delivering newspapers. And I was like, you know, I had to drive the mail truck and the mail cars, and they had still the radio with no USB, no Bluetooth. I was like, all I have is the radio. So yeah, until them, I feel like until everybody get a new car and somehow no radio is a thing in the cars, then I feel like, you know, radio's still gonna be here. And then another thing with radio is the music is shifting because, you know, when we growing up, we had stations that played 70s, 80s, 90s today. Now it's like, you know, early 90s, early 2000s and today, which is, you know, now considered older music, but it's our older music. So, and you know, think of like, you know, stores like Salvation Army, they have the radio playing. You know, other companies that just let the radio play in the jail, I get so much jail listeners. They have their radio. So I feel like if the world really goes into a place where it's no more of like a radio, then radio's still going to be here. Or at least that's where you come into like online content. Radio stations have their podcasts. Like Breakfast Club has a podcast. Every morning show, it takes their segments and puts it somewhere people can listen to it on YouTube. So radio's still going to be there. But I think you also have to tap into the more online side, making TikToks, being on Instagram and things like that to cater to everybody. But I still think radio is going to be here for sure.
I'm sorry. I was stuck on jail listeners. I never even considered that. So you're big into prisons. That's crazy.
Oh, I'm guarded everywhere I go, Maxwell. Like, I'm good.
That's crazy. People that are incarcerated have to listen to the radio too. That doesn't make a lot of sense. That's interesting. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think I tend to agree. I'm interested to see how radio will change and will shape. I think that is a big thing. You see a lot of stations that are already kind of doing apps and doing like you said, podcasts and you know, some of the bigger stations like a Breakfast Club or what have you, will also, do stuff on YouTube so that people can watch some of these shows. I'm interested to see if stations will kind of do that at a local level. But I kind of agree, like, as long as some people are driving in their cars, like, you know, some people will prefer radio. Some people will prefer to listen to their own music. I think that's going to be interesting to see. All right. So a couple of these are like must ask questions. I had to ask you these while we're on this show. These are critical questions. How do you the Kanye situation, Kanye versus Pete Davidson / Kim Kardashian, how do you feel about the situation and whose side are you on?
I feel like Kanye just needs to go on care.com and get a therapist or something, because
yeah,
He need to talk to somebody that can really help him. Like, you know, I love seeing the antics and things like that. But digging deep down, he do need somebody to talk to. Like, I don't know if it stems from like him losing his mom or going through the divorce or, you know, losing friendships and things like that. But as far as picking a side, I mean, he's beefing with everybody, Maxwell. Kid Cudi, Pete Davidson, Kim Kardashian. Who, I don't want to pick everybody. It's either everybody versus Kanye, the world versus Kanye. And I just feel like I'm going to be in the middle because I want my man to get help. But also, I enjoy the antics. Like, but I do want him to get help. More on the get help side, but yeah.
I feel like it's like a two-edged sword. Like, he gives you things to talk about on the radio, but it's like you want him to get help. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I think yeah, absolutely. He definitely needs as much help as he can get. I watched the first part of his documentary that was really, really good, actually. I'm excited for the rest of it. Just sidebar there. And then another question I have for you is, before I move on to that question, are you more of a Kanye or Drake fan?
Oh, I'm more of a Drake fan all the way. I mean, my last name is Worst, and he made the song Worst Behavior, so I'm indebted to Drake. Champagne Poppy, all day.
I like that. Worst Behavior is a banger for sure. Mm-hmm. This past Super Bowl halftime show, Dr. Dre and friends, I'm just going to say that because I forgot how many people he had on stage with him. It was a lot. tell me, like, everyone's talking about, like, where the Super Bowl halftime show ranks. Of all the halftime shows, where do you put it?
I put that halftime show during my lifetime, I probably say it's somewhere in the top five, just based off like the names of the acts who were there. Like, it's legendary: Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Mary J. Blige, like all of them. But I also have this weird thing with like how, when it comes to creating content performances, how different can you get? Like, that's where, because they just performed on stage. Like, if we want to compare to Beyonce, given the routine, the dances, the theatrics, compared to just you being on top of a statue performing. So I'm like, I don't want to, like, you know, I wasn't surprised or like, you know, I didn't feel like it was that great, but granted who they are coming together on NFL and national television, that's dope. I love to see that. But when you want to compare it to like a performance, I'm like, I don't know. They just 50 Cent hanging upside down. Ooh. Mary J. Blige falling on her back after her performance. Like, ooh, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I give it credit to being like, that's a big lineup. That's a big act for sure. So top five, but if you get a performance bag, I'm like, eh, they came together. That's cool. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I'd actually never thought about it that way. I think in the moment, it's like, oh, that's dope. Like, nostalgia is great. But then, like, when you actually do consider the performance aspect of it, I think I do have to agree with you there. I said from the beginning, though, like, for me, Bruno Mars, not Bruno Mars, Beyonce, and Coldplay, but, like, the Bruno Mars from I think that was 2013, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
That for me stands out as the best in my lifetime. But yeah. But yeah, no, that when you consider the performance aspect, I think, you know, I would have to agree with you there. I mean, even when you compare it to like last year with The Weeknd and everything that he did as well, like it just I think I see where you're coming from. But yeah, top five is fair for sure.
Yeah, top five solid, yeah.
All right, so you kind of mentioned it before, but I kind of wanted to dig into one of the things that you know, you do a lot on Instagram, and I think it's something that like I probably enjoy the most about following you is your group chat, and it's pretty much like a relationship based stuff that you kind of like talk about. Like, tell us a little bit more about like what your group chat is, how you set it up, and like what you do, and like kind of like some of the like funniest experiences you've had from doing that.
Sure. So group chat actually started back when I was in Albany. So it's been going on for a while now, and basically it was just like a segment of, you know, kind of like, you know, scenarios that you see on social media, like, oh, what would you do if your man did this, or what would you do if your girl said this type of thing. It was kind of like gaining input, because one thing with radio and creating content, you want to make it relatable. So everybody has been in a relationship, hopefully, and everybody can relate to it and have an input about it. So you're able to talk about it, you know, what do you want in a man, what do you want in a woman, and things like that. So that's what kind of just made it successful, because it's something everybody can have an input on. But starting from just a radio segment, and then turning into actually a video topic, and, you know, making an IG reel or a TikTok about it, and then, you know, posting on the IG story, and, you know, reading people's comments, and, you know, people sharing it, and people, you know, giving their advice and their input. That's what kind of made it like this whole thing. And then we even got to where it was virtual group chat, where we had celebrities join a Zoom call, and I'm asking them, you know, what's some do's and don'ts of a date, or like what makes somebody a bad kisser. Like, I'm, you know, you're asking these celebrities like questions like you would ask your own friends, like when you play, I don't know, spin the damn bottle, or never have I ever, like those type of questions with your celebrities. So group chat has kind of evolved a lot throughout the years of like different things. But as far as it being successful, like that's what everybody mentions. Everybody just like likes it, because some of the scenarios are really like, what the hell? Like, people actually go through this, or people actually said this, because I'll take like tweets that are like so far out there of like what they think a woman should do or a man should do, and it's like, you have to say something. Like, I'm trying to think of some of the latest ones, but I don't know, sometimes we'll get like into it where like I'll see a bunch of TikToks, and it's like, I think one was a man had said after they have sex with a woman, they automatically think like she's ugly after it's happened. And so I'm like, is that true? So I go on social media, Instagram. I'm like, fellas, like, what you think about this? Like, today's group chat, like, is this true? And they'll be like, yeah. And then girls will be like, oh my gosh, really? So it's like a domino effect of everything. It gets so interesting sometimes when you get into like these distinct questions where it's like, I never would have thought of that, but I'm glad you said it, because now I'm scarred, you know? So.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's just a cool thing. I think it's just like a cool way to, I mean, and again, I'm saying it because I've been following it for a while, but if you get a chance, go follow, and we'll let Alex plug all her social media at the end. But yeah, give her a follow, and I promise you that the group chats are probably one of the funniest things about it, you know, just in terms of like getting people's like general opinions on relationship topics, I think is always fun. I think that's a really like cool and unique idea. Just, and I don't know like how deep you want to, you know, get into your like, you know, personal life or whatever, but I was kind of curious, like, do you ever interact with men that are kind of intimidated because you're sort of like a public figure and on the radio and stuff?
Oh, all the time. They say that they're not intimidated, but I feel like when I was like dating and being on Bumble and Hinge and things like that, I feel like when they figured out what I do or to the lengths of what I do, they may not have liked it. And I don't think they ever like really said it, but there, to me, there really could be no other reason why they didn't want to continue, because, you know, sometimes I feel like sometimes men who are not comfortable in themselves get intimidated by women who do know themselves. And that's just, you know, you're on different wavelengths, different paths on life. And you, if you're not there yet, you're just not there yet. And that's fine. But I feel like, you know, I've had people where I think I was dating somebody at the time, and he was actually like helping me with camera work. And he thought I was flirting with some celebrity. And I'm like, I legit asked him what his color was, like his favorite color. So sometimes like men that I've dealt with just kind of like think it's always flirting, or, you know, they can't understand that I have to be at a club to, or a club performance or an event somewhere in like 2 hours away, or being on red carpet. Sometimes they don't get it. They'll be like, why do you have to go? And I'm like, it's part of my job. Like, this is the stepping stone. So that can get kind of frustrating as far as dating wise. So now I'm kind of just like really just focused on myself. I sound like I've been hurt tremendously, but I really haven't. But I've just been kind of just chilling, honestly. And, you know, whoever understands what you do in life, that's going to be your person. But a lot of people, that's just dating the entertainment period. That comes with people who want to date party promoters, bottle girls, like just the entertainment industry. It's always so tricky for, I feel like, everybody who wants to date, because it's either they're looking for a come up, they could use you, they're insecure, jealous, don't understand why you do the things you do and things like that. So it's tough, but, you know, we're here.
Yeah. And focusing on yourself isn't a bad thing either. I think it's actually really important. I think people sometimes forget to do personal work in between relationships, really do it, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I don't knock you for that. I think that's interesting though. So tell us on that note though, like, tell us what are some of your dating like must haves. I'll start with that before I get to the red flags, but I want to know the must haves first.
The must haves, they have to have a sense of humor. They have to be funny. I would like them to be somewhat creative. So like, it'd be kind of nice to either like bounce off ideas, or they can understand, you know, something to help with, like if I want to edit something, they have an input of like, oh, that sounds good, or oh, that doesn't sound good, things like that. That would be nice. But respectful, you know, kind, good head on their shoulders, just like a genuinely good person. Like, if you're a good person, that's gonna go a long way. And if you have goals, that's even great, because you're working for something, I'm working for something, we can kind of understand each other. So that's kind of like the must-haves.
Okay, and what are the red flags?
The red flags. I mean, let's see. Red flags. Like, if you're lying all the time, like, that's a no-no. If you lie about simple stuff, ironically enough, the dude that put me onto the new station in Charlotte, he was so ain't-ish, because he had like a tattoo of somebody's name, and I was like, oh, what's this? And he was like, oh, it's the name of like a river. Why? I find out it's the name of his son. I'm like, why'd you lie and say you had a river tatted on you, but it's really your son, who I've never knew you had a son. So just men who lie for no reason, big red flag. That's a bull red flag. And I feel like people just who dishonest, using you, like, you know, I've dealt with people who act genuine at first, but the next week it's like, so how I get my song on the radio? Like, I get that a lot. So yeah, big red flag, lying. We do not do lying around here. I'll spot it from a mile away.
Yeah, I think that's an important one, for sure. Obviously, you want to be able to, you know, trust anybody you're around. I know people. I don't know a lot of people, but I do know a couple people that do lie about like simple things, and that can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
I used to be friends with them, but let alone in a relationship, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I don't either. It's just, it's so much to keep up with. Like, just be honest.
Yeah, like, yeah, I won't get into that, but it's, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot for sure. All right, cool. Well, honestly, like, that's all the things I wanted to chat with. Or to chat with you about. Let me complete my sentences. I appreciate you coming through. If anybody who has a question for Alex, you can hit the speaker request and I'll let you up to ask a question. It could be about, you know, what she does on the radio or anything like that. But yeah, why don't you go ahead and plug where everybody can find you and listen to you while we're doing that, and tell us about any projects or anything you're excited about that you have coming up this year.
Sure. So you can follow me on Instagram. That has everything. That's AYEEEDUBB. It's just the name right here in this title that says Life in the Radio Business with me. That's my IG name. You can listen to my show. We have an app. It's the K97.5 app, or you can listen to hiphopnc.com. That's the website. It's weekdays, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. Everything's on my social media that I'm going, like I have coming up or things like that. Oh, the Hip Hop DX podcast. You can hear me. That's weekdays at 8 a.m. DX Daily on all podcast streaming platforms. I don't want to shout out nobody other platform other than Spotify, but it's everywhere. And then also, if you go to the Hip Hop DX's YouTube channel, if you hear the news, that's one of my voices on there as well. And yeah, so far, yeah, everything on the Instagram, fall in love over there. So yeah,
your Instagram is like the best, by the way. Like, I would just recommend, like, if you don't do anything else today, please go follow Alex on Instagram. That, like, it's really good. Yeah, you're good at like that content. I like it a lot. Do you do stuff on? I haven't searched. Do you do stuff on TikTok? I feel like you'd be good at that too.
I do. I'm trying to get more into my TikTok content creator bag. I've started a little segment on there where it's more of like music facts you probably didn't know. Like, my biggest one right now is, you know, J-Lo being a ghost, having ghost vocals. I think that's the most interesting thing to me. A lot of her biggest songs are not her singing the chorus. She's used Christina Milian. She's used Ashanti. She's used some woman that was on the praise competition show on BET, just random vocals, and even people they don't even have a name, like she's just using these vocals. I think that's so interesting. So started getting into like a music fact segment. So that's all on the TikTok though.
Okay. Yeah, that's that J-Lo fact is kind of wild, and I actually believe it. But but yeah, no, yeah, that's definitely dope. Well, we got Larry up to ask A-Dub a question. Larry, go ahead, man.
Hey, what's up? How's everything?
Hey.
You talked about being in the radio for what, 7 years, and then you recast with Hip Hop DX.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see yourself like transitioning more to podcasting, or maybe like going to television and hosting your own like talk show?
I would love to get into the television bag. I mean, I feel like my face fit on the TV, so it would be nice to see that one day, of like either taking group chat into some type of TV segment, or some type of, even not even TV, but it could be like a, you know, streaming network even. I'd be on Roku. I'd be on whatever. Just something in front of a camera I like being in front of. So that's definitely the next step. So we'll see if group chat or some other content I have goes into an actual TV network, or I'm just hosting entertainment news, red carpet segments. That's definitely one of the goals. So we'll see if that happens.
Okay, that sounds dope.
Thanks,
Laker. I appreciate it. I think that would be dope. Like video pod or TV wise, I think it's interesting. I've learned a lot about how some of these like streaming services, like you mentioned, like Roku TV and like I think Tubi and stuff like that. Like, I have, you know, friends and people that are pitching stuff on there. So I think that's an interesting avenue. With whatever you want to take your stuff, you know, obviously we're all rooting for you and wishing you the best on that. But yeah, I think that would be dope.
Yeah, well, like I said, I would love that for that to happen. That's like that's probably the biggest thing of like technology and entertainment and media growing is that, you know, when I say everybody can have a show, it's not even like a jab. It's like legit anybody can have a show, anybody can have a podcast, anybody can have a platform. So it's like it's good to see that if you love media, if you love to talk, or if you have a topic, a niche that you're passionate about, there's really an outlet for you. And I think that's dope. I think, you know, we all used to just write stuff in our journal, but now we can share it with the world. And I think that's amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a great quote to end on. Alex, I appreciate you coming through in the Spotify green room sheets. I mean, I don't know, like, you know, I don't want to take you off the radio at all, but Spotify green room definitely like is another spot. I don't know like how much you've tapped into like Clubhouse and Twitter Spaces and some of these like social audio platforms, but like, you know, always more room for great creators on Spotify green room. So definitely we hope that you can come back through and say what's up.
Yeah, for sure. When Clubhouse was a thing, I was in my Clubhouse bag heavy. I had a green bean all the time. I loved it. So yeah, now Spotify Green Room is popping. I may be back up here.
Okay, well, yeah, let me know. I'll get you acquainted. But yeah, again, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it. I'll let you go enjoy the rest of your night, your possible Target run. And all that. But thank you so much again. I really do appreciate it.
No, thank you, Maxwell. For real, this is awesome. Thank you. And thank you, everybody listening. Thank you.
Again, appreciate it, everybody, for listening. Y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all next time. Peace.
Let's rock, we at the barbershop. Let's rock, we at the barbershop. Stay tuned.
All right, y'all, that's it for this episode of The Barbershop. Keep showing us love. We appreciate it. Go ahead and rate and review this podcast and also share on social media and tell your friends about us. And if you're feeling generous, there's a link in the description to become a monthly subscriber. You can do it for as little as 99 cents and you can support this podcast and help us to grow and to glow. We appreciate all the love. We'll see you next time here at The Barbershop.
Stay tuned.